Hi there. It's that time. Time for conscious living. Actually, that's like 24/7. Hey there. It's Wendy. Thank you for tuning in. I appreciate you listening, your time, and I'm hoping that you're having a good life, whatever you're doing, wherever you're at. And it's a cool thing about this is that it's worldwide. And I appreciate you for trying to speak English because I can't do this in other languages. And I'm just amazed at how many people from all over the world are tuning in and checking this out. So thank you. I appreciate it. I hope you're getting something from it. And if you want to connect, you're welcome to do that too. I'm also, the site is on Facebook, Conscious Living. And I also have Wendy's Coffee House, a blog spot, and you can check that out. I put a lot of stuff there too, just to kind of keep things flowing. And it's also inspiration, and a lot of it's topical. It may either be metaphysics or science fiction or augmented reality, a little bit of everything. It all kind of flows together. Today, my guest, Michael Peter Langvin, and he is one of the co-creators of the Echo World. Now, this is a magazine, online or in print, you can get it, but you can check it out. It also has a lot of great topical information, spirituality, consciousness, all that stuff. And I was checking out his blog, his website at michaelpeterlangvin.com, and he's focusing on magic. So it's that perfect time where things are happening and all sorts of possibilities are in this moment present. So, Michael, I appreciate your time. I'm glad we got together to make this work.
Yeah, me too, Wendy. Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be with you.
You've been around. I mean, I used to, the book or the magazine I remember you from was from Magical Blend. And I was, sure. That was one of my favorite magazines. So it's like, oh
thank you.
Yes, it had the best stuff about shamanism, metaphysics. It was just a fabulous resource. And so I know that you're doing that again with, you know, recreating the resource here with the Echo World. And then you've got a partner too, so that's like icing on the cake.
There you go. You interviewed Sophia Karen Axelson, my wife and partner, and
we're
sharing two businesses now. She's an amazing woman, and I learned a lot of things in the 27 years I did Magical Blend, which was such a fun ride. We did 100 issues. We were in 33 countries in all 50 states, 100,000 circulation, and now. Doing the Echo World out of Virginia, I have a whole different perspective, and we're able with this publication to really get in there. I love the New Age and occult and metaphysics, but a lot of that stuff is a little stuck and has been done. And my wife coming from Sweden and I having lived in Latin America a lot and California, and both of us now being here in Virginia, we really see what we're doing is finding places where spirituality and spiritual growth and self-evolution really are being done differently and being done more effectively. So it's not by rote. It's not a dogma in another religion.
Well, and part of it, I think you bring the aspect that you've had a lot of shamanic background, and that, yes, I think adds that nuance and the flexibility. It's nothing is set in stone. I love that.
Nor should it be. Yeah, I totally agree. That. I mean, what I like to call, not everyone does, but I like to call the Latin American shamanism chaos magic. I think it's a lot, real magic, real spiritual work, I think it's a lot like a compost heap. You know, you throw in a lot of this and a lot of that, and it gets messy and smelly. But if you do it right, in the spring, you have this really rich loom. I think that's been my experience with Magical Blend. It's been my experience with my three books that I've gotten out there and the one I'm working on now, my blog. I think people worry too much about consistency and their image. You know, I don't think people's lives are meant to be consistent. And if people don't know I have feet of clay and I have weaknesses and shortcomings, well, I don't want them around me. I've done amazing things all my life, but I want people to find their path, doing what's going to transform their lives and bring them into a more joyous existence. And they're not going to do that by making me a guru.
Well, and that's, I think you have done this up close and personal when you're talking. The Fate magazine had an article that you put out in terms of working with the ayahuasca and working with the medicinals, the altered state consciousness. And that's where that chaos element comes in. Terrence McKenna, he's one of the guys who spoke to this. very, very eloquently.
Terrence and I were great friends, and I hated it when he passed, and I really advise his books to this day. The Food, I think it was Through the Gods, is just an amazing book that rewrites history. And it's really true. When you've been down in the Amazon or on the Andes Mountains, and you've been so far from everything that's familiar, and then you take intensive natural hallucinogenics and are ushered away to other dimensions by a shaman who understands rituals and walking through doorways, spiritual doorways, you realize that what we think is important is laughable, and that what we think is reality is just one slice of the onion. The reality is so much larger and grander. If we let our imaginations run wild, it all exists, and we can access it and use it to improve our daily lives.
Okay, this is the thing with this, is you have a whole benefit of having years of being an explorer in these realms. If somebody were to be like at midpoint right now with things that are happening at this point, what I see things is kind of speeding up. And when people are practicing manifesting or practicing trying to visualize or even working with their own intuition, they're getting responses quicker. Do you see that?
Yes. Oh, without a doubt. No, I'm a firm believer that, the whole harmonic convergence thing, the whole 2012 end of the Mayan calendar, all that, people expected a miracle right then at that moment. Yeah, the world doesn't work that way. It's never what we expect. What happened was the vibration of the planet and the veils between the dimensions all started shifting. And people who can set their intention and focus on what they want to manifest and take actions to move towards a life of trust and love-based, the only limits are the ones that they accept in their own spirits and minds. I think it's really speeding up, and I've been seeing all kinds of people going through good and bad changes, because it's sort of like as soon as you focus on something, it grows in your life more so than ever before. So you have to be really careful now not to be focused on this isn't working, this isn't working, this isn't working, because it's not going to work if you think that way.
How do people, I mean, it's a habit, it's a crutch, it's an autopilot set point that you have to break that. What's the easiest way?
This wonderful baby steps. I just wrote an article for the Echo World what I do, and like you never, I can't speak for everyone, but I never get over, you start having great successes and things are going well and you forget the basics, and then everything kind of guys crumbling around the edges, and you have to go back to the basics. And one of the basics I learned early on is we're not taught in school how we think or that we can control how we think. We have to start being mindful of how we think and what we are thinking about. And then when we catch ourselves thinking about what's going wrong, what we don't want, what we're afraid of, what we're anxious about, we do a simple mind game and put a big red cross over it. In our mind, we just see a picture of that thought, and then we focus on what we want instead. What if that didn't happen? What would it be like? If this worry doesn't manifest, what will happen? What do we want? And that's what we replace with. And sometimes I, who trained myself for years, have to do that, 10 times in an hour, catch myself worrying about something. But when I do it, God, the response is phenomenal. And it's a really simple baby step, and there's so many baby steps like that that people can use. And today, I mean, when we started Magical Blend, there wasn't even any laptop computers. I talked about being ancient. But today, you can get all that stuff on the internet. All you have to do is Google.
Yeah. 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 That's what I like about this now, is that, if you're interested in a topic, one sentence will get you tons of content and information. And
it really will. And if people learn to take that next step and let their inner guidance, their inner knowing, their intuition guide them on the internet. I mean, my wife and I, Sophia, I have been really experimenting on where magic and the internet interact. Sometimes we call it techno-shamanism. because we do a business called Lantern Access and Marketing, which does social media marketing and public old-fashioned public relations for people who are putting out information to help improve the world. And we play with it. And if we have a bad attitude, if we have an argument, I mean, we're a couple, so occasionally we have an argument or a disagreement, the internet doesn't work as well. The computers don't work as well. If we're on...
Imagine that, yeah.
I mean, uh-huh. Isn't that interesting that our feelings can actually affect technology? But time and time again, if we're on and we both say, yes, we can help this client reach this larger audience this way, all of a sudden, the right information, we do the search the right way, the right information comes downloaded, we get to the right site, and bing, 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 all the pieces line up. And it's sort of like where our thinking, where magic, where our energies, and where technology can all just bring us what we want faster than ever before.
What I've done, and since I work in two or three places, and going in and doing a search on different machines, and it's amazing that even though, because these are algorithms and this is all programming, even though I go into a place where typically it isn't geared to the kind of stuff I'm looking for, I'll pick up exactly what I need. And it's like, yes, yes, it works.
And you know, because you've worked in the spiritual and metaphysical and occult areas and talked to so many people, that's true in every aspect of our lives. I mean, my wife and I were delivering some of the magazines about 100 miles north of where we live, and our truck broke down on the middle of a highway. And it was like, oh, this is a combination for disaster. And we both looked at each other and said, we got to focus. So I pulled over the side of the road, and a sheriff's car comes behind us. I go, oh, no, this is going to be trouble. Virginia Sheriff. The man was the nicest man in the world. He called AAA for us, but faster. They usually take an hour. They were there in 5 minutes.
Oh, wow.
It was amazing. The tow guy was awesome. He said, oh, you need to get it fixed in the next hour? Well, I'm not going to bring you to the garage. I'll bring you to the one. Okay, just a little bit more, but they'll fix it up. Well, it took 2 hours. They had the pot in stock, which they said they never do. And they fixed that truck, and we were all back delivering magazines. That's a minor miracle, but those kind of miracles can be how we live when we're on. And nobody's on all the time, and it's giving yourself forgiveness and trusting that you can be on more of the time than you can't that really makes the difference. And at the end of life, it's really the roses that are counted, not the thorns.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, some of those, when those things happen, it's like, who am I supposed to meet? What am I supposed to do? What shift am I supposed to do? And why did this get put on my path? Because there's always a reason. There's somebody else you wouldn't meet any other way.
It's true. Time and time and time again, I would be late for a conference that I was doing a workshop at, and rushing in, grab a cab and get into the cab with someone who I've wanted to meet or who could move forward what I was doing, who I never would have met if I had been on time. And it's those kind of coincidences that aren't coincidences at all. If we live in the flow, and it's really a matter of beliefs, desires, and expectations. If we can get out of what mainstream media program us to fear and doubt and stop focusing on that stuff and focus on the life we want and stop believing we can get it and expecting we can get it and desiring it more than we desire the dramas that people get addicted to, and you know, I have too in my life. I'm not saying I'm older than now, but I'm in constant awe. And I don't know if Sophia mentioned it when she was on your radio show, but I was down in Latin America for 6 months doing my thing, and got on a bus in Cusco, feeling a little bit lonely, not wanting to be in another long-term relationship, but wouldn't have minded a companion. I sat down on a bus in Cusco going down to Puno on the Sierra Lake Titicaca. It's a 5-hour bus ride. I sat next to Sophia from Sweden, who was there on vacation, and we fell in love. And 2.5 years later, we were married in Virginia.
She didn't mention that. That's phenomenal. Yes, that's how it happens.
Yeah. No. She was in a similar but different state as me. And we both drew each other to each other and enhanced our lives amazingly.
Well, and see, that's part of it is just that being open and not
open.
Set. Like you said, that chaos, because there was a lot of things happening. Everything's up in the air and you're like, eh, eh. And then all of a sudden, okay. Redirect.
What am I supposed to be doing? What's best for all concerned? And I'm open to that, and I'll try to adapt to what it is. That attitude brings so much. I mean, to a degree, I don't think I'm a prejudiced person, but I think I was a little prejudiced against Swedish women because they're supposed to be so sexy and so smart and so worldly. And I was like, yeah, she's probably so full of herself. Never did I think I'd fall in love with one and marry her.
Okay, that sounds like intimidation. All right, you were intimidated.
I don't think so.
Yeah. Okay, now, just to back up a little bit, because you, when I was checking on your website and you were talking about how to write, you know, a book on magic. And this is the thing, where you are in your life is completely different than where you were 30 years ago. And when you were doing the blend, the magazine.
Yeah.
Where do you start now? Because you have so much knowledge and so much life experience to bring to this. And there are a lot of people listening who are, they're way beyond the beginner book. And they want somebody to say, to just jump right in and say, thank you for getting to where you are. And this is what we're practicing now. This is how we're navigating now. I don't need to have somebody teach me how to do intuition. I don't need somebody to teach me how to see ghosts.
We get a lot of review books from a lot of great publishers. If I get another one on how to, you know, take your baby steps for your intuition, I'm going to throw up. That stuff is out there, and it's out there in spades. I want to make my next book approachable for people so it's not so abstract that it's like reading sacred geometry with chemistry thrown in. But my wife and I have been pushing boundaries because she studied in northern Sweden with Nordic witches and comes from and learned ceremony and ritual from a whole different level than I did in the USA, in the New Age, and in Latin America with shamans. And when we first got together, we couldn't do ceremony or ritual together. And we both practiced them for years because our approaches were so differently. And once we learned how to adapt our approaches to each other, we just taught a class last Saturday here on introduction to Latin American and Nordic shamanism and witchcraft and where they overlap and how to enrich your life with it. And the people kind of floated out of here. It was kind of
they were still alive. It's okay.
if we could do that for people in Central Virginia, then we got some. I've been a teacher, a workshop teacher. I don't need to do that big time, but it's fun to do it from time to time. And my wife and I will sit on the porch with a glass of wine after we've worked all day, and we'll say, okay, what's going on? And she'll say, you know, I'm getting this feeling that one of your ancient ancestors wants to tell us something about an ancient French ritual. And then she'll start babbling and have to keep herself from speaking in French, which she doesn't do very well. And bring in some information, or we'll sit down and do a ritual and feel like there's a ghost manifesting or a tree spirit wanting to talk to us. These are things that I didn't used to do with Magical Blend quite that way. And it comes from practicing, making mistakes, exploring possibilities. And, you know, I used to be really afraid of the dark side. Our society is, I sat down with the creator of the Church of Satan at one point in time, and I didn't like the man. I didn't want him in any of my publications or anything to do with him. He was evil. I think evil is bad when it's selfish and self-serving and hurts other people. But I think there's a lot of stuff our society has just thrown out with that earth magic. Sexual magic, insanity, depression, all of those have doorways into power, a spiritual knowing, and a way of expanding your reality and your lives that you can. I mean, it's sort of like ancient, you know, I haven't said this on the radio. Do I want to say it? I'm going to say it. We have called up demons and ghouls to help us do our work and had things happen that we couldn't have do. They were good demons and ghouls. I didn't know there was such things.
Okay.
I mean, I know that's far out there, but seriously, when you start looking what's the next step? Where have I been afraid to go? That's where the excitement really is. We're still running two businesses and doing really well with that and having fun, paying the bills and doing well. But it's really fun to say, okay, where does our society say no, that
yes,
they shouldn't? Where
right.
have we accepted limitations that are really just put in place to keep humans being sheep rather than being gods and goddesses?
Well, it's fear-based. It's fear-based. And that's intentional. Because if you get the kind of power you're talking about, there's always the possibility that somebody who has a much more ego-based control issue, like military, is going to corrupt it. And so if it's out there, anybody can use it. And that's what I liked when they were talking about the psychic spies, when you're Ingo Swann and
right.
Pat Price and some of these other guys, Joe McMonagle, all these guys... they're basically way showers, and they've got them from Russia. They've got them from Europe. These people who have been there, done that, and now are training the next generation.
Sure.
There are limits. Yuri Geller, he was, another one who is incredibly gifted, and yet all the garbage that these guys have had to suffer through until they could actually claim by somebody else's, I guess, affirmation, validation, credentials that they did what they said they did, then all of a sudden things are shifting and people are going, oh my gosh, maybe there's something to this. And they've known all along. And the information has been out there, but there's been this disinformation and this discrediting intentionally so people won't go there.
And that's why I've really come back to the basics of people learning to hear their own inner voice and listen to it. I know it's very new age and trite, but it's so true. We all have intuition. We all have psychic abilities. And our society tells us that's a lot of no. Just because you happen to know it's your mother when the phone rings before you pick it up, or that you're going to get a letter in the mailbox from someone important today, even though you shouldn't know those things, you don't have any abilities. Well, we do. We all have that. And if we learn to use that, we can say no. And discretion is really in there. No, that path is wrong for me. Yes, this decision is right for me. I was just speaking to Joe McMonagle the other day, and he was flown to Mexico to help these people find, I think it was a silver mine. You know, he got off the plane, they put him in a Jeep, and he said, we have to drive 200 miles southwest of here.
And they found, only 200 miles, okay.
And they found this amazing silver mine. Because Joe learned with the military's help to begin with, but with his own, working with the Monroe Institute and on his own, that I have to hear what the earth is telling me, what the psychic energies are telling me, and what my remote viewing abilities are telling me, and just get all the other baloney out of the way.
The dowsing, I've talked and read about the dowsing abilities that some things have, like a metal will feel a certain way. Water will feel a certain way. Now, dowsers all work differently, but what I thought was each person has their own way of sensing. And when I was reading the one who said that he had a different feel for copper than he did for silver, and there was a texture, there was something to it. I'm thinking, that's what we need to be learning from the time that we are little, instead of this stuff of, well, here, how to market yourself, or how to go into a career, 9 to 5 for the next 80 years, if you're lucky.
How to dress for success and have a retirement pension. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
those
things are gone.
They're gone. That's the good news. I mean, when you were talking about the military and corporations corrupting this information, it's too late. We've already won. The future is going to have those kind of things you just talked about. We're going to have schools, not that break people's spirits and expect them to learn to read in kindergarten and test them on that and stress them out before they're 10. No, we're going to have schools that teach kids how to find their own inner path, how to talk to trees, how to hear the earth and the rocks, and how to enjoy life and find their own creativity and their own spiritual path. That's our future society, and it is being born. It's just sort of like eggs cracking around us. Donald Trump and all of that is just like the last big joke about the old ways going away.
Okay, hold on. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back. You're talking to listen to trees and listen. I think we can listen to planets. And there was an article in there by Whitley Strieber. I'm going to get back into that aspect here. Michael, hang on a second. We're talking about Michael, Peter Langwin, and all sorts of magical stuff and more than that. Okay, now you've got me all excited. Okay, fine. More Conscious Living coming up on Empower Radio.
Dave, what are you doing?
Just sending a gift to Dave 2037.
Who?
Me in the future. I save a little money from every paycheck as a gift to Dave 2037, so he can spend it on things like anti-gravity boots or a hologram Doberman, something cool like that. I think Dave 2037 deserves it. He worked hard. What are you getting Steve 2037?
I guess I was thinking Steve 2037 would just fend for himself.
Well, all right, but don't expect to be borrowing my anti-gravity boots.
You want to have money in your future? You got to start saving now. Putting some money from every paycheck into a savings account or contributing to your 401k can make a big difference later. Put away a few bucks, feel like $1 million. For free ideas and easy ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. That's
feedthepig.org.
Hey, let's just hope Steve 2037 doesn't get his hands on a cold time machine, because he is going to come back here and knock some sense into you.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Okay, Simon, what are you wearing right now?
Nothing.
That's right. And what do people normally wear?
Clothes.
Exactly. So now mommy's going to teach you how to dress yourself. Clothes keep us warm, they look good, and if we go out without them, the neighbors will talk. So it's important to know how to get dressed. Here's how it's done. Underwear always comes first, name tag at the back, then pants, then shirt. Get the first button in the right hole, or you have to start all over. If you're wearing a tie, it goes over, round, round, through, and pull tight. Tuck your shirt into your pants and zip up your flap. Socks go on first, then shoes, right on right, left on left. With shoelaces, just take the ends, cross them over, switch the loops. The rabbit goes down the hole, pull tight, and you're left with bunny ears.
I love bunnies.
Good to know. Now remember, spots don't go with stripes, socks don't go with sandals, and if you've tucked in your shirt, wear a belt. Got it? Why are your pants on your head?
Most parenting is hard to do in just 2 minutes. But spending just 2 minutes twice a day making sure they brush their teeth is easier and could help save them from a lifetime of tooth pain. For fun 2-minute videos to watch while brushing, visit 2min2x.org. That's 2min2x.org. A message from the Partnership for Healthy Mouths, Healthy Lives, and the Ag Council.
Hey, Dad, how do you throw a curveball? How do you build a fort? How do refrigerators run? How do fish learn how to swim?
Kids ask a lot of questions.
How high can you jump?
But you don't have to know every answer.
How many phone numbers are there?
Because you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent.
How do cell phones work?
There are thousands of children in foster care who don't need every question answered.
What's electricity?
They just need you.
What's the moon made of?
For more information on how you can adopt, go to AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
So, I'm a dog, and I just got adopted by this new human guy, and I'm starting to wonder how he got along without me. I mean, okay, something as simple as walking around the block. He's got this leash thing, and he puts me on one end and him on the other, and I'm just taking him around. I think he's afraid of getting lost. Without that leash and me guiding him along, I don't think he'd find his way back home. But it's kind of cute.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Conscious Living. Hi there, I'm Wendy Garrett. Talk about synchronicity. I was saying, oh, it's a perfect break time. This is great. It's so good because my dog was barking like crazy. And so there's the adopt a shelter pet, bark, bark. I'm like, oh, yeah, there you go. There you go. So fortunately, the dog didn't hear it. It was started barking all over again. But that's what's happening now, though. Those kinds of things are part of our awareness and our experience. And it's so seamless. And at the same time, you still have to pay attention because they just kind of filter in.
It's true. I mean, it really is where you're focusing and your perspective that makes all the difference. I've seen it with so many friends, excuse me, and contacts, people who, you know, wrote a great book 5 years ago and were living the good life, helping people, and then their partner died or something, and they just lost track of what was important, and started focusing on what wasn't right, and their life went down the tubes. It's really what we expect and what we focus on that makes all the difference. And when we lose track, which we all do, we can always pull ourselves back, but there's more tools and there's more opportunities than ever before.
Well, and again, I want to introduce Michael Peter Langvin is my guest. He's the co-creator of the Echo World. You can check that out online. You can also check out his webpage, .com, and just spell that basically the way you think it might sound, and it'll correct it for you. Google is just miraculous. It's like, okay, fine, it'll fix it. Do you mean you spell it like that? Yeah, sure, that's it. Great. Yeah, give me the page. Okay, so I was mentioning, you know, when you're talking about connecting with tree spirits or connecting with other spirits, and Whitley Strieber's in there, and of course, he wrote the book Communion, which I read it a long time ago. I thought, you know, maybe I don't want this book in my house. This might be too influential, and I'm not ready for it. Well, and then, you know, 20 years later, it's like, oh my gosh, this makes so much sense that there's other stuff going on. And then we get into transdimensionals, extra dimensionals, ETs, all this stuff. How do we deal with some of this stuff when it can be at times overwhelming, the chaos thing that you mentioned earlier?
Oh, yeah. And it's the same thing as forgiving yourself, making mistakes, and having weaknesses. We're going to get overwhelmed. It's just a given. When you start peeling back the layers of the onion of reality, this really, the universe is limitless. So Whitley's a good friend of mine, and he's a brilliant man, and he's been exposed to more other dimensional beings than a lot of people. And a lot of times Whitley just loses himself into day-to-day politics just to ground his feet and have something to focus on. I think that's what we have to do. Find out what works for you. You can't do it 24 hours a day. But when you're on the weekend, instead of watching reruns of I Love Lucy, you can spend time meditating or going into trance and communicating with other spirit beings. And it's like a TV set in that you can fine-tune the channeling. So when my wife and I moved to this beautiful valley at the end of a dirt road in a forest by a creek, we were thrilled that we overlooked a grassy field and didn't even see the trees around us. And then one day she went out to sit on the porch and she came back in and she said, they were talking to me. And I said, who? And she said, the trees all around the valley were talking to me. I came out. And we got in the same energy, and sure enough, and we both have good imaginations, but for me, it's real, and it's benefited us, so if it ain't real, I'll use it anyway. But
yeah,
we agreed that there was a council of trees that existed in this valley, that the evergreens took over in the fall and winter, and the trees that have the leaves over in the spring and the summer, and that each one has a personality and different view of reality and different knowledge that they can share with us and advice. They've given me, you know, advice with both of our businesses, and it worked. And the one thing I would think of doing, but it's worked out really good. That's just one kind of bizarre example of what does exist and what can exist. The extraterrestrials, the extra-dimensional beings, they're all there. And because we're moving, I think part of what we were talking about, synchronicity increasing and upping the vibration of the planet, we're moving in to something like the fifth dimension of existence. And because of that, these communications are so much easier than they ever were before. And we can now change the channel and say, okay, I'd like to talk to extraterrestrials from another planet and sit in quiet meditation and actually call them in and have just information that you wouldn't imagine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, there's also an aspect of that when you're in over your head and you're wondering how to practice either discernment or a way of, in some way, shape, or form, focus to make sure that's who you're speaking to. How do you address that?
Oh, and those, thank you for bringing that up, Wendy. Those are so important. I mean, I'm sort of like a broken record when it comes to discernment and being, you know, not trusting of everything, not just take everything at face value, check it with your gut. see where it's going, because just like gurus and spiritual teachers, there's so many shades of good information. People who want to be rich and famous at your expense, people who don't, who are just bringing in really exciting information that's totally false. And it's the same with the spirit world. There's astral monkeys who will make believe they're your Uncle Frank who passed over, and there's enlightened or semi-enlightened beings who want to play with your mind and life, so they'll claim to be the goddess Athena. You have to have a sense of asking the question, why, and what does this feel like, and am I getting anything good out of this? Is this just entertainment? Entertainment's a good thing, but if you're just getting entertainment, I used to say when we used to do Magical Blend, if spirituality can't work in the marketplace, it's not real. And it's not like you have to be able to take it to the bank and make $1 million on every spiritual idea you have, but you have to be able to test it in the material world and not be walking down the street handing out your money naked because some spirit being told you to.
Well, if part of it's ego. It'll play into your own ego. I remember when I first started channeling, the very beginning, I got the curmudgeons, and they would have these dynamic little personalities, and they would have all sorts of wonderful little sayings. You know, it was just amazing how the character element fit in. But when I started going up the ladder, then it became less about the character and more about the content.
And that's characters are fun. I once talked to this armadillo-like mountain being of another dimension that used to grow arms to paint pictures to communicate. Well, I'm still kind of stuck on that because I could never even imagine a being like that it exists. Never mind could communicate with me, but it really didn't tell me anything other than stretch my imagination. I've had rocks tell me more solid things than that being did. And as you grow up, you look for content. I mean, for me, it's like, am I happier than I was 5 years ago? Does my day-to-day existence feed my basic needs? Do I have a good relationship with my brother and sister and son and daughter? My wife and I laughing a lot. If those things all line up, and they do, thank goodness, and may they always. Then I'm a blessed man who it's working for. On the months I can pay my bills ahead of time, well, then it's all working.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, and I'm talking to you because you've had such a broad-based experience, because I don't always support and advocate the ayahuasca or the medicinal approach, because I think you have to be really grounded and know your limits and not get sucked into having to have a pharmacological kind of experience to get to the next level.
But, I think you're absolutely right, and that's important. I really like to stress that the hallucinogenics are not for everyone, and the shamanic path is not for everyone. People need to find their own path, and it's okay to taste the edge of things, and if it tastes wrong, then don't go back there. Don't let it take over. Yeah. Don't you?
Well, and you, when you're talking and you're doing this kind of thing, you're going with not just the fly-by-night, hey, it's the tourist kind of thing. You're talking with somebody who's grounded, who knows what they're doing. That's crucial, because you can have a bad experience, and it just takes once.
If you go to Cusco, Peru, and you walk a block off the Plaza de Armas, the main square for tourists, you see a sign in a coffee shop that says, ayahuasca trips, $20. And a lot of the tourists go to it. And there's this guy who used to be a carpenter, and he'll put you on a bus and take you across to someplace in the Sacred Valley and leave you in a room with shamanic music playing and some weak ayahuasca that he gives you to drink with some other people you don't know. That's not a good ayahuasca experience, and it's not something people are going to get a ton out of. They can say they did ayahuasca, which is what, if they went there to say that, that's great. But You want to make the extra effort. Ask who's to go with. Find out who's had good experiences there. And that's true with all spiritual things. I mean, there's a lot of spiritual teachers that work with some people and not others. A lot of shamans who really talk to some people and not others. But you have to find yours, and then you have to have discretion and say, nah, this isn't the real thing. I just want it too bad. I mean, I've walked down a lot of dock alleys in a lot of countries. I've traveled in Africa and Asia and Europe and extensively in Latin America. Almost been killed in a bunch of places, near death and beyond. But you learn from that. Okay, don't walk down dock alleys in strange countries late at night.
Okay, this is why we're talking to you, Michael. All right. Thank you. To kind of get that seamy edge of, yes, it's there. And at the same time, you benefit because you're willing to say, I've been there, done that, don't need to do it again.
Well, that's it. You know, I really wanted to go to Mardi Gras when I was in college, and my friends were all going to go with me, and when it came right down to it, they all crapped out on it. And I bought my ticket, I got on a plane, I went to Mardi Gras, I got drunk with a bunch of winos and caught a bunch of bees, and I said, hey, I've done Mardi Gras, I don't ever have to do that again. and I think that for me was a spiritual lesson. It's good to taste things. It's good to see if they're as big as they're blown up to be, and yeah. It's good to see if they work for you. But if they don't, then you've done it, and you move on to something better, and you learn from the lesson. And we learn from our mistakes. God knows, running big businesses, international businesses, I made mistakes that cost me thousands of dollars. Love to have those thousands of dollars some weeks. You know, I have the lessons, and they're more valuable than any thousands of dollars.
Well, and you also have your sanity, and you also have, at this point, a lot more contentment. I think that goes away with those big multi-million-dollar businesses.
Oh, it does. I mean, when Magical Blend was at its peak before the economic turndown, I was signing millions of dollars of checks, literally, and taking my kids to see the crowned heads of Europe for 3 month vacations. And it was a wonderful experience, but other times I was just racing to the next workshop to do hiring and firing staff, wheeling and dealing. And when my kids graduated college, I said to myself, okay, what's really important now? It's definitely not this rat race. You know?
Yeah.
And I just closed it all down and walked away and went back and studied who am I and what's important to me and what gives my life meaning. And boy, I'm so much happier.
Well, and that's part of it, though. I think each person, that trial by fire of, okay, I did it, I've been there, it was incredibly hectic and stressful. And what were the things that you brought from it? And you're bringing some stuff back from the ashes now in a more refined way, because you've had a chance to sift and sort through and say, this is what I think people are going to benefit from in the long run.
That's it. The people that kept in touch with me when I stopped being a publisher, the famous mm-hmm. people, the people that I spoke on stage with, the people I asked for articles and interviewed, I knew they were quality people who cared about people. And to feature them in this publication, now that's fun. The other ones, you know, when you're up on top, you don't know who your real friends are.
Right.
But the ones who wanted nothing to do with me because I wasn't publishing Magical Blend anymore, well, I guess we know what's important to them, don't we?
Okay, that kind of stands out. Yep. Who's missing?
And that's true in so many levels in our life. This made me happy for this period of time, but then it wore out. So, so I don't get drunk on Jack Daniels early in the morning anymore. That just doesn't work for me. It worked for me when I was 21 or something.
Oh, yeah. I think I've talked to a few people who it worked for until it didn't. Now, getting back into that, when you said you knew Terrence McKenna, he is, in some ways, his stuff was a little bit prophetic.
It was. He was wrong about time ending in 2012, which I really wanted to be right about that.
Glad he wasn't.
But in some ways, we're moving to a timeless place where space also falls away, but we're not there as fast as he thought. But no, Terrence's stuff was very prophetic, and it was very insightful. I mean, Terrence was out there on the edge of a lot of the stuff that my wife and I are working with and beyond us in some ways. He was a visionary, and he walked the edge of madness because he was such a genius.
Is there anybody now that is comparable?
You know what? I think we've moved from the age, for me anyway, and it may be because of my age, I don't know, but I think we've moved from the age of leaders and superstars in spiritual realities, and there's a little bit here and a little bit there and one doing something here. We're featuring a woman from Sweden in a lot of the Echo Worlds. Her name is Meissen. She makes jewelry. an unlikely spiritual teacher. She practices witchcraft, and she writes these pieces that just touch people's souls and make them question in a gentle, loving way how they can alter their day-to-day reality. I mean, I've talked to people from all over Virginia who I never thought a witch from Sweden would touch, who just are like, is she coming to visit? I want to meet her. I want to study her classes. Because she puts out this real genuine, I'm working with creativity and magic and trying to find out what's important, and I want to share that. I think there are more people like Meissen than there ever have been before. One of the things we're doing with the Echo World is really looking for those people and trying to spotlight them for people. I love Deepak Chopra and Marianne Williamson and Carol Mace, but you know, they've said their thing, and they still have some things to do for those people who are coming up. But I think it's the people that are breathing a breath of fresh air and a different perspective, and just coming from a almost incomprehensible place of, this is how I'm trying to live my life with more quality and more magic and more creativity. And I'm not sure. I'm living on the edge, and I'm hoping it's working, and I'm going to share it.
That's what I look for when I do these interviews. I look for people who are living it, because there's a difference between somebody who's basically a billboard and somebody who's in the trenches, because I learn from the people what they're doing every single day, not what their big speech of the moment is. And that's not to be disrespectful, because I have really appreciated the work that these other people have done. But now,
so many of us in so many ways.
Yeah. It's just that when I'm seeing the results of a practice of putting this into your daily routine, that's where the moving and shaking is happening now. It's right in front of us, around us, and it's empowering.
I spoke with someone just a couple of hours back who does some amazing spiritual work. She does readings for people, but she does other stuff as well. And she was saying she had studied with one of these people who was a best-selling author, and who taught all this stuff. And when after a little while studying with her, she said, this woman is all about selling books and herself, and not about the quality of the material she's putting out there. And that's not always the case. But, you know, if you're focusing on selling books and making money, you're not necessarily focusing on improving your life and your personal evolution. And you know, any spiritual person who's not focused on their own being more honest with themselves and their own personal evolution, I don't really hold it in high regard.
Well, and it's part of it is, if being in the media, you know how this works. You'll have a PR person who says, this is what you need to do, and say the name of your book every 2 seconds, and don't forget to punch the website and do this. And so as an interviewer, as somebody, I want your story to get out there, and then they will track you down, because that's so much more quality based than you continuing to repeat the same old verbatim mantra that they have no reason to check it. Where's the content? And you are the content.
Well, that's it. No. And guilty as charged. I was interviewed by Ronald Reagan's son on his TV show when Magical Blend was first getting going. I said Magical Blend magazine so many times, he couldn't use the interview.
Oh, darn it. Oh, yeah. Ouch. Ouch.
You learn. What's really important? Is it what I'm promoting, or what I've learned that I can share with other people? And you learn that, and then your message and your way of life changes radically. My wife and I, doing Landry and Axelson marketing, he said, promoting their business, do the same thing. We tell the clients that we work with, look, if you haven't got your stuff out there, maybe it's because you were too busy writing books or too busy helping people with your counseling. We can help you get it to a wider audience. We'll do that by focusing on what you're offering, not on you as a package and your book or your service as a package. Because in this day and age, you know, we've all bought toothpaste and ivory soap. We don't want a package anymore. We want the unique individual's take on stuff and their hands-on experience that'll allow us to better control and focus our lives.
A lot of this has to do with now in having practiced this for 30, 40 years, knowing that if someone is interested, the way this universe works, they magically, there's your word magic, show up at the right time, at the right place. And it isn't magic. It's programming. It's tuning in. It's ingrained. It's that conscious network that we are all part of. And when we need the message, we miraculously show up and say, oh my God, Michael's talking. I need a publicist. And here you are.
That's it. That's actually how that business works. You know, we say, oh, this client, potential client comes in and we talk to them. And go, oh, that would be good. And they go, no, we're not going to do this. And, oh, okay. And then out of left field comes another one that we're really supposed to promote, and it's fun. And we're learning things from, as well as helping other people too. So that's a win-win. And the other thing that I really stress to people is and it took me so long. I'm not even sure I'm there yet. But trusting the universe. You know, trusting yourself and trusting the universe. I love to tell people that my greatest successes always came after my greatest failures. When I closed Magical Blend Down, I like to tell the story as if I was, you know, oh, yeah, well, it was done. But, you know, I was crushed. I didn't know who I was. I laid on my couch and cried for a week. Because everything
so did
I was, yeah,
so did I.
Thank you. Everything I thought I was going for had gone away. And then I had an opportunity to go back to graduate school free and get a master's degree in social work and study who I was, how the world worked, how people work, and reflect on what I had done for the previous 30 years and what I had done right, what I was proud of, and what I had done wrong and was embarrassed by. And then I got to work with people at the very bottom of society, meth addicts and alcoholics and diagnosed insane people, and really see just how the difference between New Age people and people who society has cast aside, ex-cons, and how much this material, when put in the right package and shared with them, can enhance their lives. I taught classes with the ex-cons who just believed it was predestined they were going to go back to jail. And I told them they didn't have to, and that they didn't have to be living with a spouse or a lover that they had to, that drove them crazy, that they felt they had to beat up, and that they could had to work harder, but they could find a job and stay out of jail. And some of them did because they heard that, and I gave them some New Age or spiritual tools that made it easier for them. Oh my God, if I don't do anything else spiritually meaningful in this life, that was just the greatest gift the universe could have given me.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's the crucial part, is that for you to be on the top of your game and have something so successful, and then, as you said, walk away, then to start basically rebuilding your foundation from the ground up. And I think J.K. Rowling has it. I built my foundation, you know, at rock solid bottom. I'm paraphrasing, but that's what you did. And then you bring this whole new aspect to everything you do now, which makes it, I think, have so much more texture and so much more reality and authenticity. And that's why I really appreciate what you're doing and what you have done.
Oh, Wendy, thank you so much. That touches me deeply. I want that all to be true, and that's what we're aiming for. I'm like I said, I'm really honored to have met the woman of my dreams, and to have my son and daughter at 28 and 29 be two of my best friends in the world, and have a great relationship with my remaining brother and sister, and a wide circle of friends and contacts. And to me, that's the most powerful magic that exists in the universe.
And
if I can be helping other people evolve on their path at the same time, hallelujah.
Yeah. And this part of it is, as we're talking, it's like you've lived all the different aspects. It doesn't happen overnight. It happens as we are breathing, as we are growing, as we are aging. And that's what we're here for. And we're going to have to wrap up. But if you're listening, Michael Peter Langevin, LANGEVIN, if you want to spell it. Otherwise, you can do the Echo magazine, is echoworld.com, and just, you know, connect. Find out there's something here that we did in this show that relates to you, and take that and sail with it. Anything you want to add, Michael? We're almost done.
People really only have the limits they accept, and they can create the reality they want, and it's as simple as getting out of our own way and forgiving yourself when you make mistakes. And thank you for having me on, Wendy. What a joy.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Keep doing what you're doing. We're following along.
And
till next time, if you're listening, just stay positive. And the big thing, stay curious. There's a lot here. And that's why you are tuned in. See ya.